born to broadcast. Television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Welcome to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Ingham County Register of Deeds, and he's stepping in to save me. You were supposed to be on in a few minutes, and we couldn't get a hold of our guests, so we're going to keep working on that. I thank you for being so flexible, Curtis.
Anytime, Cheryl.
I appreciate it. You had a big day yesterday in front testifying about fraudulent foreclosures and in front of some legislators in Lansing. Tell me about how that process is going.
I think it's going well. We have legislators from both sides of the aisle that are interested in this issue. Obviously, everyone's seen the news attention on the DACA scandal and other robo-signing scandals that are going on across the country. In Michigan, it really is very little due process in our foreclosure process. So we need to change that and make it fair for both banks and citizens.
So you were in front of the House Banking Committee yesterday?
Yes.
And what did you, was it, I have never been in front of a group like that for, to speak. Is this something where you have interaction or you simply state your case?
We did a couple things. First, we Oakland County Register of Deeds, Bill Bullard, actually gave a presentation explaining how the crime exists. Then we showed legislators the piece that was on 60 Minutes, which was a very good piece of expose journalism. And then I went up and testified on what the actual changes of law should be. And then finally, the Attorney General's office came up and talked about exactly what they're working on in terms of the investigation. So it was pretty thorough.
It sounds very comprehensive. The 60 Minutes piece, when we spoke last about this, Curtis, the 60 Minutes piece is the piece of the puzzle that finally gave folks who have the job that you have the piece they needed to look for, didn't it? So you knew specifically what to look for to uncover some of this fraudulent documents.
Yeah, it provided us, we already knew that there was irregularities, mm-hmm. but it provided us a specific pattern. And, it's not just happening here in Michigan, too. I mean, since our press release came out, we've seen a register of deed in Massachusetts, one in North Carolina, one in Iowa, all bring out these exact same issues. So it's spreading across the country.
Now, what we discovered when we talked before is we've talked about foreclosure is a horrific thing for any family to go through. But when it happens because of fraudulent documents, that's rubbing salt in the wound. Are people understanding that you're speaking with the need to move forward with some kind of with legislation that we're looking for to try to stop this process? Is there going to be any redress for those this has happened to? I guess I have two questions there.
Yeah, in terms of the redress. Really, that's a matter for the civil courts.
Okay.
And we are working right now with legal aid of South Central Michigan to actually find those people and get them attorneys to help them, because obviously they've just gone through a very traumatic and expensive process losing their home, so it's hard for them to afford their own civil attorneys. So we're working with them there. In terms of the law changes, I mean, Michigan is one of the easiest states to foreclose on a citizen. There really is no check at any point in the process to prove that you own the mortgage, which is really a sad statement. So all we're saying is, in my office, banks, when they want to foreclose, should have to provide a full list of the people who have owned that mortgage the entire time with the proper documentation. And then if a citizen, when they're getting foreclosed upon, feels that some fraud has been committed or some step has been skipped in the process, a third-party panel similar to the Michigan Tax Tribunal, not the courts, we're not trying to overburden the courts, some kind of third-party panel would review those documents, and if there is a legitimate reason, then the person could go to court and prevent the foreclosure from happening. So we're just trying to give a system that will allow the citizen to have as much protection as possible.
Why is it so easy? I find that statement interesting. You said, why is it so easy to be foreclosed on in Michigan? What particular are we doing or not doing that's enabling that to happen?
In almost every, well, not every, but in most states in the country, I don't want to say every,
okay,
but in most states in the country, they have what's called judicial foreclosure, and which basically means that you have to go to court and prove that you own the mortgage and the person's behind. And that's the standard. In Michigan, we have what's called foreclosure by advertisement. And what that means is you post something on the person's door. You post it in a paper called the Legal News, which is an excellent paper, but not a lot of private citizens read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's been posted, you can go ahead and sell their house at sheriff's sale. So instead of going to a court, instead of somebody reviewing the documents, instead of somebody looking to make sure that every step was followed correctly, we have none of that. We have literally a system that you post it in a newspaper, you post it on the door, your house is sold.
That just seems outrageous.
It does. And, you know, in a perfect world, we'd, you know, I still believe that in a perfect world, we'd go to full judicial foreclosure in Michigan. Now, obviously, with the current economy and the current level of work that our courts have, that may be a tall order to ask for. So I'm just saying, if we can't do that, if we can't do what the best thing would be, let's do something in the middle to make sure that if a citizen believes that a fraud is being committed on them, they have a way to protect themselves. And that's really all we're asking for.
So these changes would be big for the state of Michigan, but in the scheme of things across the country, they would be appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of where everybody else is, it would be a much more appropriate way of actually going about foreclosing on a citizen. I mean, we would become similar, at least, to other states, and probably still on the easy end in terms of committing foreclosure. But at least there'd be a panel that would say to the citizen, "We'll review your documents, we'll take your case," and frankly, it's a good thing because it doesn't burden. Right now, what we have is attorneys out there trying to find these citizens, filing in all individual cases across the state, trying to get these foreclosures stopped. And really, to me, that's more of a burden for the system than a system where everyone's funneled through the same, basic idea. I mean, now we just have people filing stuff all over the state. It would be much better to have an organized way of going about it, and I think that's what we're offering.
Well, it does sound like that. I in the remarks that you sent me that you gave to the Banking Commission yesterday, and I appreciate the historic portion of this from your point of view as well, that the history of land records, it's an essential part of any democratic or capitalist country, that these are some basic rights we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at communist countries, and you look at when those when those communists came into power, what they did, the first thing they did was destroy the land records. Because if you couldn't prove that you owned something, it could never go back to the way it was. And in Michigan, we have our own set of land records being destroyed. And they're being destroyed by a system that provides no checks and balances. People are losing their home. One of your most basic American rights, the right to own property, losing that without any due process whatsoever. And that, to me, that is very sad. And I think anybody, Republican, Democrat, can come together and say, that's wrong, and let's do some things to fix it.
One of the things also that I remember from our last conversation, you talked about citizens have to follow the rules. The person who owns the property has to follow the rules. But certainly in this case, the banks aren't following the rules as well. They, you know, and that's one of the points that really gets you riled up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of we've had some people say, well, why do you care? No, because the person didn't make their payments, and they should be foreclosed upon. And I'm not saying that eventually that's not the case. But what these banks took from these people is a fair shot at justice, and more importantly, in many of these cases, time. You know, in order to when you do something fraudulently, when you do something outside of the normal legal reasons, the reason you're doing it is to save a little bit of money. You know, not you don't pay as many lawyers as you're not signing documents correctly. And the other thing you're saving is time. And, you know, a couple months to somebody who's going through foreclosure could mean whether they get to keep their house or not. It could mean whether they get their economic seat together and they actually get to keep their home. So, I mean, to steal time from these people is really, it's just not right. I mean, we need to do something to make sure that the people that are responsible are punished.
Well, I find it amazing that someone would ask you, why do you care? Well, A, it's the right thing to do, and B, it's your job to take a look at this and root this out.
Yeah, it's few and far between. There have been a couple people who have said, we shouldn't care. I think there's that with every issue, and there's always going to be someone on the other side. I know that my job is to maintain the integrity of the records and keep them safe in Ingham County. And I don't like the fact that a fraud's been committed on my office. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we right that situation.
You said, Doc, we were talking specifically in this instance about a company called DocX, and that's DOC and the letter X. Are you aware of other companies who have you discovered others doing the same thing, whether in Michigan or not?
We have several patterns that we're looking at. Until we have a smoking gun, I'm not going to accuse somebody of fraud in the media. But I can tell you that if you read some investigations that have been done across the country, that robo-signing and people signing for positions and names that they are not was in many ways an industry standard of these foreclosure mills. I think that we are just peeling back the first layer of this onion, and we plan on keep pulling back layers, and we are going to keep working with the Attorney General and the FBI, and we're going to bring people to justice.
Well, and I find that interesting. You're just peeling back the layers, and maybe we'll take a step back and explain to people that DocX was actually hiring people to forge these signatures.
Yeah, they were paying them $10 an hour. To sign the, and this is the thing I can't understand. They were paying him to sign not their name, but the name they were signing was a woman who worked in their mailroom. I mean, she wasn't a vice president of a bank either. So they're signing Linda Green as vice president of five different banks in one day. You know, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, you know, some of our biggest banks in the country. She's claiming to be a vice president of. Say, you know, and she's signing in the same day, but she's not the actual one signing. They actually paid someone to forge her name on a fraud. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It just shows you how blatant they were. They felt like they were never going to get caught.
Well, and you have been in touch, of course, with prosecutors in Ingham County, and charges are being pursued, or they're taking a look at the case and where to go with that?
It's, you know, I really think we're talking about the Attorney General is looking at it.
Okay.
I think it's too big for just one county prosecutor. I mean, our county prosecutor is fantastic, Stuart Dennings.
Sure.
But this issue actually affects every county in the state of Michigan.
Oh, boy.
We've talked to registrars from across the state, and they've all found the same documents in their office. And there are documents being found across the country. So we have the FBI involved, we have the Department of Justice involved, we have the Attorney General's office involved. You know, this is, you know, we have a crime that was committed first in Georgia, then the documents were mailed and filed in my office, which is another crime. We're talking about mail fraud, we're talking about racketeering, which I know those things don't sound exciting, but it's what got Capone.
Yeah, so, what's that term? It's not sexy, but it's still wrong.
Exactly. There are so many, you know, different aspects of this crime that we're probably talking about a large national prosecution.
It's unbelievable. We're just about to wrap up here, Curtis. When we talked to you last, there were about 60 you had found at that point. Where are your numbers at this point?
We're over 100 in the docket.
Boy, here we go. I know we'll be talking again soon. Thank you so much for jumping in a little early with us, Curtis. And
anytime, sir.
And I appreciate the information. And when you have more that I'm not aware of yet, just give me a call and we'll get it to the folks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much. Curtis Hertel, Jr., Ingham County Register of Deeds on the giant fraud going on across the state of Michigan, apparently across the country. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.